Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com. By VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop. By Polar Blood, Sweat, and Gap. By Premium Plus Sports, official travel agency of Babbittville. By USA-SwimRun.com, grab a buddy and give a swim run a try. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, this last year we sent out 2,806 grants, totaling $4.3 million to keep challenged athletes in the game alive through sport. Check us out on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, I know him as as one of the top adaptive surfers out there, Mr. Prone to Ride, I think is what it's called, Mr. Jacob Pacheco. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing so well, Bob. Thank you for having me on.
Hey,
pleasure to be here.
I love it. Now, so Jacob, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Northern California in a small town called Citrus Heights. I grew up there for about 10 years, and then I moved over to Granite Bay and to the Roseville area, and that's where I went to high school, and yeah, that's pretty much where I came from. So I'm a NorCal kid, born and raised.
Love it. And so you're born with spastic cerebral palsy, and that affects affects the lower limbs and your left hand.
So, yes, sir, that's correct.
When did you realize that, you know what, I think I'm a little different from the other kids?
I pretty much realized it from preschool because I had a walker and braces. So everywhere I went around, I was kind of loud and proud. I call it the rage cage of when I was a kid because I used to zoom up and down the street super, super fast. My dad used to joke around and tell the story about how he used to put me in the walker and he would turn around and then the next moment he would turn back around, I would be down the street sprinting. So, you know, yeah.
So are we thinking a Forrest Gump type of look?
Yeah, it's like Forrest Gump with Speed Racer mixed in there on Nitro.
I love it. And so since you had that, you've always had this great personality, did the kids pick on you or was it the type of thing that you were accepted because you were just one of the kids?
It was a little bit of both because I felt like I always had 2 feet in two different worlds. I had 1 foot in the disabled world and in the adaptive community, and then I also had another foot in the other world where I was just able enough but not able enough to be accepted by that group. So I had 2 feet in two worlds. So I was bullied on a little bit, but I was also accepted by my peers who had challenges as well. So it was a little bit of a combination of both.
And how far along was the adaptive sports community? Because we hear at Challenged Athletes Foundation a lot is, you know what, my son or daughter was really the only kid who was dealing with this and really felt like he was stared at all the time. Did you feel like you had a core group of people who were facing similar challenges that you could chat with?
There were very, very, very few. You know, the people that I worked with or who I was in classes with had wheelchairs. They had exceptional challenges as well, but they weren't able to participate in sports. So I was really kind of on my own in that regard. And then I was also kind of separated from that group. Most of them were local to each other. They could hang out with each other. I was a little bit further away, so I had to get bused in a lot. So to be honest with you, I felt really alone a lot. For most of my life. For about 24, 25 years, I kind of felt a little bit alone and kind of solo. It kind of inspired this lone wolf mentality that I kind of carried with me. But, you know, growing up and then realizing, you know, Angel City Sports, meeting you and Challenge Athletes Foundation, it's kind of empowered me and enlightened me to a new kind of beginning. It's kind of a rebirth kind of thing. It's quite beautiful, honestly.
But at the same time, you were working with the Galaxy, right?
Yes,
I know that in the courses you took in college, you went to Fresno State, you got your master's at Long Beach State, and I think there were other folks saying, hey, it's great that you're taking all this stuff, but you're never going to be coaching because no one's ever gonna take instruction from somebody who walks the way you walk.
That's true. The boundaries were quite significant, and I had to fight a lot of prejudice. There were a few times where I was told that I did not have the experience or the ability to coach athletes without disabilities. I had some derogatory comments directed at me when I was coaching children in the Central Valley. But you had to kind of roll with the punches, and I was always taught by some of the best in the industry, Dr. Wade Gilbert, Tim Hamill from Fresno State, that you are the example, and the kids are going to follow your example, so be who you want to be and who you expect yourself to be. So I always kept that in my mind, and I never lashed out because I knew people were watching. Huh. And I had to make sure that I presented the right attitude, sure. And I just kind of moved on, you know?
How important was it for you, self-esteem-wise, and also just credibility-wise, to be hired by the Galaxy?
It was a big move in my career. I remember going to the interview and sitting down with my boss, and we were sitting and looking out over the first team field, the main field where all the cameras are and everything, and I had to maintain my I had to contain my excitement. I had to contain myself because I was literally jumping out of my seat. I was so happy to be there, and to be given that opportunity, kind of showcased to myself that I had the ability to do this. I had the ability to coach at a high level, and I proved it multiple times over. So it was a really good kind of fulfilling act that I did. It's great. It was great.
So when other kids who are in wheelchairs or who are walking with braces or are missing a leg, when they see you with that shirt on that says LA Galaxy, I'm sure the amount of street cred that comes with that, and also just the motivation for them to realize that there are no limits. If Jacob can get there, why can't I?
Exactly. That's the whole point, is to be able to challenge your thinking, to create a new beginning, to tread your own path, whatever that may be, right? Working in professional sports, you're working at a very high-stress, high-level, you know, expectation. But I kind of embraced that. I liked that. And it was kind of part of my DNA. So I always wanted to be out in front. I wanted to show people what's possible with a can-do attitude, with positivity, and just not taking no for an answer. And every time I see someone with a disability who's younger, in the younger generation, you know, I remember and I try to have empathy for that time, you know, because I remember when I was a kid, I didn't feel like I had anyone. So I make sure that I always shook their hands, I smiled at them, I kept telling them to keep going, stay motivated, keep pushing, because you're going to inspire somebody who comes after you. Time's always cyclical, you know, you're in the present now, but the future is behind you. You know, you got to keep growing the future. So,
love that.
That's the attitude I have.
Well, and the reality, we've seen it over and over again at Challenged Athletes Foundation, because you're always in the spotlight. Whenever you leave the house, you know, when Rudy Garcia-Tolson or Blake Lieber, when they leave the house, people are staring. That's just the reality. You either live in the limelight and love it, or you shrink from it. And
Exactly. You're
one of those guys who loves it and has grown from it, but I'm sure it wasn't always that way, right? Was it hard for you going to school as a kid, going, okay, what's today going to hold for me?
Yeah, it was. I had to deal with some fights. I got into some fights as a kid where I was bullied a lot, and it messed with me a little bit, but
yeah. You
have to kind of push through it. You have to kind of move forward, you know, and you make particular choices in your life where they have significant meaning over the long term, and you can either choose to run from it or you can embrace it and attack it head on and make it for what it's worth on your own terms. And that's what I believe, is creating your own life on your own terms, doing what you love to do, and putting a smile on your face and going after it.
So talk a little bit about your introduction to surfing, right? I'm guessing when you look up sports for somebody with spastic cerebral palsy, that surfing isn't necessarily at the top of the list.
No, it's probably way down the list at the very, very bottom.
You know, after you've turned the whole book over, you're like, wait a second, it's not in there. What the hell?
Yeah, exactly. Surfing is quite a dangerous sport. especially for people with disabilities and even those without. You know, you can get injured.
Sure.
You can die if the conditions are right, if you really want to challenge the ocean that way. But surfing for me, I saw it in 2012 with my mentor, and I was still in Fresno at the time. And I remember watching videos at the Islands Burgers. I don't know if you know the restaurant.
Yes.
So they have these great surfing videos all the time where these guys are going off of these big waves and they're coming back down. And they look like they're having a great time. And I remember I was like, I want to try that. I want to do that. And I was pushed to do that. And I started surfing when I came to Long Beach in 2014 for my grad school. But I didn't know how to surf. I didn't know how to do anything. But thankfully, I had an amazing human being who's my best friend, Daniel Sindel, who basically taught me how to surf. And that was really difficult for him because he had to sacrifice his own personal time to help get me aboard. I already had the wetsuit, and he got me aboard, and he walked me out every day on the beach for like 2 or 3 months straight. He got me on the board. He would literally walk me out, turn me around,
yeah,
and throw me into waves for like 2 or 3 months straight. And then I finally eventually learned how to paddle, and that's where it kind of took on its own life. But I really have to thank, you know, other people for getting me to where I am now. I mean, I put in the work, don't get me wrong, but it's always other people who help you get to where you're at, to where you are. You need to remember that. And, you know, Challenge Athletes Foundation kind of helped me reach that next step as well, right? I didn't even know you guys, like, were really around until 2016, 2017.
Angel City Games. Yeah, we met there.
Yeah, exactly. And that was just by happenstance. I met another disabled athlete who's a track runner. Her name is Taylor Belcher. She's awesome.
Yep.
She's one of the best ever, I believe. She's a rising star in the industry, I believe. And she was like, oh, yeah, let me introduce you to Mr. Babbitt over here. He helps with Challenge Athletes Foundation. And sure enough, you and I had a little chat, and you said, oh, yeah, maybe we can help you send you to Hawaii. I was like, what? And, you know,
you went to
I
Dukes.
Couldn't believe it. Yeah.
You went to Dukes. Now, when I thought I remembered a story where your buddy put you in some pretty big surf to start out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. It was our second day of surfing.
Yep.
And of ever. And we were at Seal Beach, and it was during that historic week in 2014, 2015, where there was just consistent big swell day after day after day, and it was only getting bigger. Well, at Seal Beach, it was like around 5 to 7 foot that day.
Wow.
And it was clean, and I had an 8-foot foam board. I didn't even know what I was doing. And we got inside the jetty, and I got smashed by this big wave. And it just, I remember going underwater, and it went dark. It went black. And I couldn't see up. And that's when I got really freaked out. And I came up spitting out water. I got hit by another wave, and I said, I need to get out. And, you know,
right, and it's and not then, like you can, you know, you're on a prone board. You're lying down, so standing up is not an option at that point.
Yeah, no, I was a newbie, full-on newbie, didn't have any training whatsoever. I was out of my element, but I gave it my best shot, and I went out there, and I tried it again and again and again, and now I'm here.
So, best wave ever.
Oh, man. Best wave ever?
The best wave you've ridden.
Oh, man. The best wave I've ever ridden probably was at Seal Beach. That was a really good day. It was breaking real nice. I caught this wave. I came down the face of it. I actually got it on my blog. I came down the face. It was like a 6 or 7 foot wave.
Wow.
And I came just right down the line, and I looked up, and I was going, whoa! My face and my eyes got big, and it just started breaking right behind me. It was just perfect, just beautiful, just breaking perfectly. And my eyes just made this huge, perfect face. I freeze-framed it. I put it on my Instagram. It was just great. It was, like, probably one of my best pictures I ever took. And it was a memorable day that day. I was on fire. I was just in the zone.
So when you ride, like we were both out at the Adaptive Surfing competition this weekend, and other guys who ride prone, they have straps on the board, and I'm imagining those first boards you were on, you might not have had straps.
No, I had nothing. I literally had nothing but a board in my hand. That was it. So I kind of pride myself on being versatile and being able to surf whatever you give me. Like, you throw me a board, I will go out and surf it, because that's how I learned. I had no adaptive equipment, nothing. All I had was a leash, a wetsuit, and my arms, and that's how I had to learn, you know?
I love that. And so now, and then when did you launch Prone to Ride?
So Prone to Ride started in December of 2016. It was my goal to be a, I guess you could say, a pivot point for others to look to really kind of provide inspiration for them to stay motivated to achieve their goals. I also wanted to communicate to the younger generation with disabilities that you can do this. You can do what you set out to do, whatever it is. If you want to be a professional athlete, you can be a professional athlete. It will take time, it will take a lot of energy, and it will take a ton of commitment. But if you can stick with it, it will happen. So that was really my thing, and it just kind of started, it really started in a parking lot. I was sitting in my car, and I was really down on my luck. I had a rough day. I had just found out, like, some really downer news about working for a sports organization. I wasn't going to be able to move forward in that organization. And my best bud at that time, Robert Graves, who's also a great advocate in the veteran community, you know, he said, he looked me straight in the eye, Bob, and you know what he said? He said, you need to do what you're supposed to do, and you're going to go help thousands and millions of people someday, and you need to do this. You need to go surf, you need to go speak, you need to do this. I will help you get started. And he did. He helped me start a GoFundMe, and that's pretty much how all of this came about. That's pretty much how I met you. It started in a car and with a GoFundMe.
I love it.
It's just an idea.
I love it. And so with when you look at surfing and you look at everything you've accomplished now, when you run into or hear from, you know, people follow you on Facebook, follow you a lot of places, when you hear from people you knew in grammar school who probably think back to, hey, that Forrest Gump kid, I wonder whatever happened to him, and they see what you've accomplished. Do you hear from any of those folks who reach out and go, oh, my God, look at all the cool stuff you're doing?
Yeah, a few people have reached out and said some nice things, and I appreciate what everyone says, kind or not. I take everything with a grain of salt, whether it's praise or criticism. I embrace it all because I believe that that's what makes me a balanced individual. And I also get feedback from kids with disabilities.
Yep.
They say they watch my stuff, and I don't even expect it. You know, I met a kid this weekend from Wales.
Yes. Yep.
Ethan Jalosa. So he goes and he says, hey, I watched your vlog. I've been watching it for the last year and a half. And I couldn't believe that because that's pretty much when I started. You know, and I was emotional on the inside. I don't try to show it. I try to always be strong, but it really touches my heart because it's a lot of work I put in, and I love it. I enjoy it. I hope that it helps someone, and I feel like it is helping because I have these kids coming up to me saying that they watch my stuff, they try to copy the workouts, they try to maintain a positive attitude, and that's all that's really necessary to get anywhere in life is keeping a positive attitude. Because there are times when you can get down. There are times where you can feel down. It doesn't have to be perfect. I don't think life ever is perfect, but you can make the best of it, right? So
no question. And the cool thing is, from when you grew up to now, in terms of the equipment, the awareness, the opportunities for kids facing challenges, don't you think there's been a quantum leap forward?
Oh, absolutely. It's night and day. It's night and day. Kids have the opportunity now to experience sport like at a grassroots level. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You're going to create the next Michael Jordan in a wheelchair.
Or exactly.
The next, exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no question about it.
It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be fantastic. It already is fantastic. I mean, the amount of happiness, the amount of pure joy that you see on these kids' faces, like, what more do you need? What more do you need? And, like, that's what I want to do, is I want to be able to help as many of them as I possibly can. And Challenge Athletes is doing that. I mean, Challenge Athletes has helped me out so much. You guys have been able to put me into Hawaii twice now. I also went to Peru. I climbed Machu Picchu for the second time in my life. I did it as a child with my father, and then I came back as an adult, and I did that in May by myself.
Wow. By yourself? You climbed?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I filmed it. It was really terrifying. I was really scared. Because I was climbing up the steps, and the steps were too steep and too uneven to be assisted. So I had to get on my hands and my knees, and I had to climb each one step by step. And there was a point where I reached where I looked down, just happened to look down and to my right, and I realized that that's a long fall, you know?
Wow.
And I looked back, and I was like, nope. One step at a time. Don't look back down. Just focus.
How long a climb was that?
I climbed 47 stories, and I walked about 11 miles.
And a lot of it was on your hands and knees?
Yeah, I walked most of it with my hands and knees, and I walked most of it on my own. And I had my cousin there occasionally for a shoulder to grab on, but the ground was very uneven, but I did it. And I didn't even hesitate. When I finished, I had a few people who were clapping me. They were clapping me up at the end, which was really nice. It was a beautiful moment. But the people who I really have to thank are Challenge Athletes Foundation and my family for getting me to that point. And I surfed also in Peru as well. I surfed some really awesome waves there as well.
Did you bring your board with or just borrow one?
No, I did not bring a board, so I got lucky, and I had to swing some deals, and I got some bargains on some boards from some guys who helped me rent some boards.
I love it. So if people want to follow you, you said you're doing video blogs, right?
I am on YouTube. It's a prone spacebar to ride.
Prone spacebar to ride. Okay.
Yeah, it's still the same word. You just got to put the spacebar between the prone and the to ride. YouTube decided to be a little difficult and make it that way, but it still works.
So not a hyphen, just a space.
Yep, just a space bar.
Prone to ride. And there's, you know, videos up there, and I know you're out doing some video at the surfing at the ISA champion Adaptive Surfing Championship this weekend.
Yep. We'll have a new episode coming out tomorrow night around 7 o'clock Pacific time. I usually post every week about 2 to 3 times. Our subscriber count has been growing.
Way to go.
But yeah, I can't help but love being shown. And I just love promoting the community. People like what they see, so I just try to keep providing it. And I give a little insight on my life. We got a really big, huge announcement coming out for the vlog actually this week as well that's going to affect somebody's life in a huge, huge way. I'm not going to announce it now, but
very cool.
Let's just say I'm taking on what Challenge Athletes Foundation has given to me, and I'm trying to give it back to someone else. So,
passing it on. I like it.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I'm very excited to bring it to the fans. So they're going to want to subscribe. They don't want to miss out because it's going to be pretty awesome. So
love it.
But I appreciate the time, Bob. You're amazing. You guys have done so much for me, and I can't say anything else but thank you.
Jacob, it's great to have you in our world, my man, and I love seeing you at all these different events. I bet you, while you were watching the surfing this last couple days, that you're going, oh, my God, look how far this sport has come.
Yeah, but I also wanted to be out there, so it gives me something to aspire to and keep charging for.
I love it. Jacob Pacheco has been our guest again. We are brought to you by Tough Man Triathlon Series, by VeloFix.com, by Polar Blood, Sweat, and Data, Premium Plus Sports, our official travel agency, USA-SwimRun.com. Grab a buddy, give a swim run a try. Our Challenge Athletes Foundation, in our first 25 years, we've sent out over 23,000 grants and raised over $1 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on BabbittVille.com or on iTunes. Until next time, remember, endurance lives forever.